Thank you. Have a seat. Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. Isaiah, chapter 1. The guys that tipped the boat over, you were being filmed right back there, so if Brother Collins wants to know who specifically did it, it's all on film, guys. By the way, that reminds me, do you understand that there's cameras all over this campus? Just a little suggestion there. Isaiah chapter 1 will begin in verse number 4. I strongly prefer that you bring a Bible to chapel. Not a cell phone, a Bible. And if you don't bring a Bible, don't sit in the front row. Isaiah chapter 1. I love Hiles Anderson College students. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And turn to verse number 14. Yes, Israel is getting a scathing here in this chapter, verse 14. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. When ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Let's read verse 20 together. Ready? But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You need not turn there, but I'm going to read in Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 and 13. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Father, we come to you humbly. God, I need you. We all need you. And God, I pray that you would totally take control, have your total will in this chapel service. I don't want to do anything or say anything that is not ordained of you. We ask and pray in Jesus' name, amen. You know, I read this passage from the book of Isaiah, and I'm thinking, why are you so stupid, people? It's real simple. Just turn yourself to the Lord. Surrender. And then I take an inward look and I say, Dave, you're no different. your heart is the same. And somewhere in my life, I just made a decision. I will pay the price in prayer to get God's blessings. And I have a passion. I hope you know I have a passion for prayer. Why? Because prayer has transformed my life. And it took a long time, but the lights came on in Martinsville, Indiana, 3 years ago, where the Spirit of God was all over that meeting, and 70 to 80 pastors present there. And in the end, you've heard this story before, we had a corporate prayer meeting, and I have never in my life witnessed nor heard the moanings and the groanings and the calling out to God like I did in that meeting. But it dawned on to me, if I have problems, if I need to have things from God, I need to go through prayer. If I want a personal revival, if I get sick of myself enough, I have to do it through prayer. You know, cancer is an evil disease and it kills many people. And I don't want to take time to take a survey, but probably many of you here have had a family or a friend who has died of cancer. My hand would be raised. And often, though, in that cancer, to kill that cancer, they have to give treatments, radiation, chemo, whatever it may be, that almost kills the body before and kills the cancer before you can pump life. And anybody who has ever had a relative have seen this. They just about die trying to be treated for cancer. And that's very, very necessary spiritually also. We have to die to ourselves before we'll ever have the relationship with God that we want to. And I really do believe that this is a generation that wants revival. I believe that with all my heart. I see it in your eyes for the most part. But you're going to have to learn a few things that I've learned too. You're going to have to get pretty sick of yourself. I'm not talking about a self-loathing and where you go around beating yourself up. I'm talking about the sins that you deal with day in and day out, and you just, nothing ever happens. I'm talking about your inward man that doesn't have enough sense that when you have a burden to fall on your face before God in an isolated place and cry out to God. You need to learn that when you have relationship problems, you come to somebody. McCarthy, we have a problem with each other, don't we? Shake your head, yes. Let's fix it right now. Let's pray, my brother. Can we do that? That's the way God says to solve your relationship problems right there. We moan, we groan, we say, I'm so tired. Well, have you ever thought of getting the renewal of the spirit with inside? The body may be tired, but you know what? That inner man can be strengthened. And a lot, it's not physical tiredness, it is emotional and spiritual tiredness. To where the solution is the Holy Spirit within. To have total reign that can bring the enthusiasm back. The message is called, the title of the message is, Why We Don't Pray. And until you understand why we don't pray, you will never have a fervent prayer life. When you discover what prayer will do for you and a relationship with Christ will do for you, you will never be the same again. I guarantee you. Why don't we pray? Number one, because we rely on our feelings and human reasoning. Mark chapter 2, verse 5 through 7, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, capture those verses, those words, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. Why were the sins forgiven? Because he saw their faith in thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and capture these words, and reasoning in their hearts. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Not realizing they were in the presence of God at that very moment. And so we reason in our mind that I need $2,000 to pay my school bill. I need $1,000. But that just can't happen. Well, you're finished right there. Your human reasoning said, I just can't happen. And I wish and I pray that we would become a generation and a culture says, why not? I have a God. My God can do anything. But we're weak in spirit, we're weak in mind, and says, oh, we just can't do that. You know, when people tell me I can't do something, I interpret that statement as charge. We can do something. We can do something. Obviously, this was a difficult time with the nation of Israel, and they were God's people. But oh, how wicked and evil they were. And it's good to read this frequently to remind yourself what we are also. You know, just because we are a Christian, that doesn't give us a calling card to get our prayers answered. God is looking for a holy and pure generation. If you would like to, read Psalm 24 a few times. If you really want to get some things from God, then you need to understand Psalm chapter 24. Who is allowed to go into the holy place? Well, the same type of people that were allowed to go into the temple, the holy of the holies in the temple, the high priest, one time per year. And who was allowed to go into the holy place or the inner court? Only the priest, after they had cleaned up and changed their clothes. Who is going to get their prayers answered? Those who are pure and holy. You say, well, Brother Douglas, I just don't know how I can do that. I mean, I tried my thought life and I'm just selfish and I'm greedy and I'm sinful and I'm evil. We just describe human nature. I'll tell you how to start. Get on your face before God and say, God, cleanse me. Purge me. And like a cancer patient, it's going to almost kill you before you learn to be a holy person. If you're not a disciplined person, you will never enter into the Holy of Holies. You'll never be able to go to God and say, God, I need this, and God, I need this, on a consistent basis and get your prayers answered. So number one, why don't we pray? Because we rely upon our feelings and human reasoning. Now let me just say, we have some very intelligent people out here. Your intellect is much higher than mine, and you know what? If we could train, if we could exchange intellect and intelligence, I would keep mine. You say, Brother Douglas, are you really, really intelligent? Nope. I'm not, and I'm glad I'm not. Makes me rely upon God. I don't want to rely upon my human reasoning, what I read in a science book. This is why it's always a glorious thing when a scientist or somebody that teaches higher education in a public university, they come to Christ. They usually are really influential for the kingdom of Christ after that. But listen to me. You try to figure it out here, what you need to do is try to figure it out here. You need to get the heart cleaned up. I need to get the heart cleaned up first. You say, Brother Douglas, I have fought this battle for 15 years, for 20 years, for whatever. Don't stop fighting. You've got to understand what goes on, and you've got to understand, and I'm going to reveal this here, the law of sin that is within you, and you are living like an unsaved person in bondage to the law of sin. And that law of sin says, you got to obey me. Scripture says you don't have to obey the law of sin. Why don't we pray? Why are we not falling on our face on a regular basis and crying out to God? Is it that we are just so satisfied that we have everything, that we're content, but yet we look out to a world that is Christless? That's okay, that's them, I'm good. God, have mercy upon us. Listen, I'm a little bit older than you. When I first came here, I thought, man, I'm old enough to be these kids' dad. And then it dawned on me, I'm old enough to be your grandfather. Mrs. Douglas is not. She's much younger than me. Why don't we pray? Because we rely upon our feelings and our human reasonings. God is not on our radar. And so when we face difficulties, we start using our human reasoning. When Brother Zarsky says you need to pay this amount or you're going to have to leave college, you start whining and groaning to everybody. You call mom and dad and cry to them. That is a great opportunity to go find an isolated place and fall on your face and say, God, I want you to prove us. Prove me. Why don't we pray? Number two, because we have learned we can do life without God. We don't need God. Let's just face it. Many people live as if they do not need God. And that's a very, very sad thing. You've heard me say before, and I will continue, and it's genuine, that the greatest thing that anybody can pray for me is, Brother Douglas, if they ask me, many times I'll say, I just need to stay needy. I want to have to be running after God all the time. I don't want to stand still and say, I'm good. If that means hardships have to come in my life, then bring on the hardships. Because I know what the Christian life is without hardships. I know what this human depraved nature does. And it's not good. It'll turn away from God. You know, you will think and dream about money, 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 money. Money will corrupt a man very easily. Or, biblically speaking, the love of money. Need to be careful. I need help. Isaiah, come up here. Yes, Mr. Wooster, come up here. I need somebody very small. Somebody that I can handle. I want you to listen to these verses here. Because we have learned to do life without God. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind, that's you and I, is enmity against God. Said different ways, the indwelling sin, our carnal nature, our fleshly nature, the devil within, the enemy within, we're all talking about the same thing. We all possess it. And this is what it's talking about. Because the carnal nature, mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject unto the law of God, neither indeed can be. I'm going to represent the law of sin. I'm going to represent the evil within. I'm going to represent the flesh, the carnal nature that we all possess. This was me one day. I, before I was saved and before you were saved, were totally in bondage to the law of sin. You, Isaiah, do exactly what I say. You understand me? Shake your head yes. Say yes, sir. All right, because I'm the law of sin. You got some sinful nature in you, don't you? I want you to stop going. Don't take that invitation to church. Those people are a bunch of hypocrites. Do you understand that? I'm trying to walk away. No, 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 no. Come here. You're staying by me. Pull away again. No, 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 no. The law of sin has it captive. This was me. Now, the only thing that helped me from destroying myself was, number one, a conscience. My conscience was not totally seared yet. It was getting there. And I had unsaved parents, but they were pretty decent parents. Didn't do very good parenting, and a lot of alcohol, a lot of drugs, and the sheriff department knew exactly where we lived and make frequent visits there. But nevertheless, I was going down a really, really rough road. But what happened when I got saved after years of alcohol, drugs, fighting, and that's about all I want to say, I was free from the law of sin. You are free from the law of sin. Let's move on here. Let's read this. Stay right there. Romans chapter 7, verse 18 and 9. For I know that in me, these are the words of Paul, that is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Don't pat yourself on the back too much, kids. Because in you dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. You know what Paul's talking about right there? goes on in each and every one of us. Romans chapter 7, verse 23. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, just real quick, like, now stay with me here. It is impossible, and this is what many Christian young people, this is what many Christians, period, do. They get tired of the battle. They get tired. Now, you're a Christian, so you're not bound up, but you live like you are. You are listening to the law of sin. I mean, it is very, very expansive, such as the alarm clock goes off and you say, no, I can't do this. Because your nature says, no, I need to sleep. You have bad relationship issues. You have bad thoughts about other people because the law of sin talks to you. It's totally in control. You lust. You sexually lust because the carnal nature, the enemy within, says, go for it. It's okay. And here's what happens. Many Christians have just said, I'm tired of the fight. I'm just going to obey the flesh. Now, when the Bible says that the flesh, the carnal mind, is at enmity with God, that is much more than an enemy. Our nature within hates God. It hates worship. It hates praising God. It hates being obedient to God. Isn't that something? It's within all of us. And we have to live that way until the day we die or the Lord Jesus Christ comes home. But here's the greatest truth that we find in Romans chapter 8. You're free. You don't have to obey me anymore. You're free. Go ahead. Live a Christian life now. And what are you doing? You're free. He likes the law of sin. We like the law of sin. Thank you, Isaiah. Let's admit it. We think about sin. We meditate upon sinful thoughts. We can hide it from everybody else. We could take that cell phone and look at pornography. We could take that cell phone and text sexting to each other. That's perverted. I'm just going to say that's just real perverted. Can I just say I lived an unsaved life and I was one of the bad guys? But that never crossed my mind. Of course, we didn't have cell phones, but that's just weird. That is weird. Go ahead, corrode and rust and kill your mind. Because that's the price you're going to pay. And so that same carnal nature says, I don't need God. And I say to you, you need God. You need God every hour of the day. And you need to retrain that mind. That mind is the centurion. It is the guard of our soul. And all of us have thoughts that are passed through our mind, even hundreds per day. The mind says, get out of here, or the mind says, come on in, because then it enters into the soul. And we're undisciplined. You know, everywhere I go, I have to be careful what these little eyes see. I have to be careful what these hear. Yes, and even at my age. I have to be careful about looking at billboards. I have to be careful at some woman who is dressed provocatively. Or has sensual, she's very sensual. It's just like, okay, I'm out of here. Because the mind says, the spiritual mind says, stay away. But the carnal mind says, let me have more. A man that used to sit here, and I won't tell the relationship because I don't know who I'm speaking and who knows who here. But we used to razz this person because during the heat of the summer where people up in Chicago are dressed real provocatively, he made it his mission, Brother Collins, to witness to every provocatively dressed girl. We're like, what are you doing? Well, they need the gospel too. And I asked him face to face, I said, that doesn't disturb you? Not at all. Can I just say, he's divorced now. He committed adultery. Does that surprise me? Not a bit. If she needs a gospel. I'm just going to sit here, man. This is the greatest story that was ever told. And I'm out of there. Why? I have to guard my mind. And that carnal nature within you and within me hates God. It wants nothing to do with Him. You've got to understand that. You've got to combat that. That's a whole different sermon. Why don't we pray? Because we value intellect, competency, and wealth. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." You know, it's very easy in your pursuit of knowledge, and really your pursuit of power, because knowledge equals power. It really is. But here's the only knowledge that I want to learn right there. I want to know the truth. And some of you are going to be sucked into things. You're going to get on YouTube. You're going to get on social media and say, "Wow, listen to this preacher. He's got a great truth there." No, really, he's a heretic. There's a lot of YouTube preachers that are nothing but heretics. But it sounds so fascinating. Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. But it sounds great. And by the way, that's the only place they can preach is on YouTube. Some of the people that we have most problems with, they have little, real small congregations. But they have big egos. And silly people, simple people say, "Well, that's good. Did you know that the truth?" And they cause pastors trouble. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of any things of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Now listen, this is going to take most of you a long time to hear, and I'm kind of giving you upper level information here and truths here, because you're so young and vibrant and you've got a brilliant mind and you're at the peak of your physical life and everything, and wow! Then you're going to listen to God a little bit later in life. And you're going to crash and burn a few times. You're going to get humbled. And it will be intentional, because God just takes his hands off a lot of Christians to say, "Okay, all right, you're not listening to me, you're on your own." That's a very dangerous place to be. And you know what? If you're not listening to the authority around you, you are what I'm just describing right now. No, Brother Lucas, you said not listening to God, but God ordains authority over you, spiritual authority. And if you sit there and pick on the leaders around here, and you enter into conversations, silly, stupid conversations. You know what? "Lee, I don't like your brother. Don't tell him that." You know what? I heard the same thing going on in my first grade class, my second grade class, my third grade class. I mean, it is about as childish as childish can be. And we're big 18, 19, 22, 23-year-olds. But you haven't grown up yet. Wherever you go, there's going to be a higher authority over you. And I really do. I think Israel's got a great concept. It would never happen here in America, but it is mandatory. Women and men go do 2 years of military service. You'll learn a lot in something like that. I'm not an advocate of don't quit Hal Sanderson College and go join the military. But you know what? You learn to take commands. You learn structure. There is a right way and a wrong way to do everything. But in your very simplistic 18-year-old mind or 19, whatever it may be, you're like, "Wow, I'm cool, I'm bad, I'm this, and I have the choice and liberty to do anything. Oh, my parents, they're so old school. My parents don't know anything. Brother Douglas, he is so old school. I don't like Brother Douglas anyhow." And that's me talking. And it's like, are you serious? How long have you been saved? Where's your spiritual maturity? I'm talking about how we get things from God, but how, before we get things from God through prayer, we got to take up care of this right here. Well, I was the star teenager in my youth group. But God knows your heart. Don't be patting yourself on the back. The older I grow, the more I see the depravity of human nature. And
I go through those periods like it's cancer treatment, about have to kill, die on the insides. God, help me. Why don't we pray? Because we feel frustrated when it comes to prayer. Here's how we like to pray. I need some help here. Brother Eggers, if you could come up here. Pray a prayer. I'm God for right now, okay? So, Brother Eggers, stop the drama. So he has a need, so he gets down on his knee. He cries out to the Lord.
Dear Lord, I need money for my school bill right now.
Okay. Angels, let's work it out. Let's make it happen. One day later.
Right now, please. Like, I need it this second.
Okay, one day takes place.
Dear Lord, I don't know why you didn't answer my prayer yesterday.
Two days take place.
Lord, do you even know that I exist? What's wrong with you?
3 days.
Well, Lord, this is my last time praying. If you don't answer it, I'm not doing it again.
Fourth day. That's us. That is us. You didn't answer my prayer, God. I've counseled with so many people that the big issue they have in their life is not the relationships around them, but it is the vertical relationship. Well, God didn't answer my prayer. Well, first of all, you got to understand, you have to trust that God is an all-knowing God. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. And he's a loving God. And he's an all-wise God. And there's a reason you don't get it right away. And I just want to scratch my head and I think, could it be because we're just a pure, unclean, evil-hearted person? And we think that our calling card being a Christian is going to get our prayers answered? Sorry. Isaiah chapter 1 is God's people. You understand that. We're not talking about heathens. We're talking about God's people. If I regard iniquity in my heart, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. You know, here's the whole thing. God is trying to motivate us to be a pure and holy people. That's how I interpret that whole passage there. And when you begin to get things from God, when you begin to receive blessings from God, it's like, oh boy, I'll do anything I have to be pure. I'll clean it up. I'll do anything to have that relationship with my Heavenly Father and that He'll hear my prayers. But there are Christians that say, no, this is too good in here, man. I just love it. It's called idolatry is what it is. That thing that you dwell on all the time that you can't dismiss from your thought life, that's your idol. You try taking candy away from a kid, that kid will cry 100% of the time. You got a little boy. You give him a candy, and then you say, psych, change my mind. That's kind of old school term. He's going to cry. And God says, Nathan, I want that idol. Give it to me. No, don't give it to me. Give it to me. Nathan, I'm going to tell your dad. Give me the idol. You see them on your bus route all the time. That's us. That's our heart. Because my sin is my therapy, man. It's my addiction. How do you know if you have addiction? Try to take it away from you. See how much you fight for it. Why don't we pray? Because we rely upon our feelings and human reasoning. Why don't we pray? Because we have learned we can do life without God. Why don't we pray? Because we value intellect, competency, and wealth. Why don't we pray? Because we feel frustrated when it comes to prayer. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and it came to pass that he was praying at a certain place when he ceased. One of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. They had reached a point of spiritual maturity. They realized their deficiency in this. He said, God, teach us, Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. There's a lot of ways you can learn how to pray. You can take a prayer class. Pastor McSpadden teaches that class.
You can go to as many prayer meetings as you can. You can listen to mature, godly people pray. You can read books. You can go to seminars. You can read the Bible and see the example there. But listen, you should not leave Hiles Anderson College without being a prayer warrior. How many of you men here, you feel God has called you, whether it's missionary, whether it's a pastor, youth director, you're going to be a spiritual leader? Would you stand up, please? Don't you dare give to the people that you will minister to a self-sufficient individual. Don't you do that. You give them God. You give them a spirit-filled leader. One that prepares, one that desires God more than anything in his life. I am sick and tired of seeing moral failures. I've said that. I will continue to say that. Thank you. Have a seat. We feel frustrated when it comes to prayer. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what to say. We pray selfishly. We don't get our prayers answered, so we just put it on the bottom shelf. And then if we have a crisis in our life, we'll come back to that bottom shelf and say, maybe I should pray. And I'm saying to you, your prayers should start as soon as you wake up. You say, Brother Douglas, I'm really foggy-brained. I'm hardly, barely awake. Okay, I understand that feeling. But how about this? There are probably thousands of prayers in the Bible. This is a prayer right here. Listen to me. Two words. Oh, God. He knows my heart. I've got the Holy Spirit intercessing for me. I have the Lord Jesus Christ intercessing for me. You think it has to be very eloquent. Our dear Heavenly Father, God, the God of Jacob, the God of everybody else in the Old Testament. Father, thou art a holy, holy God. How about this prayer? Lord, come. Come. Help. Come. Please. I'm overwhelmed. Come. Come. Help. Doesn't have to be eloquent. I'm all for corporate prayer, but don't pray to impress other people. Don't do that. We all kind of catch on to that real quick. Nor should you critique their prayers either. Just worry about your prayer. Why don't we pray? We just simply don't believe. God has never showed himself to you because your heart, because you've never sought after him. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. I see this all the time. I perceive this. Hey, we're having a big prayer meeting. Let's come to the prayer meeting, several of you. Come on up here. Let's go to the prayer meeting. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, ladies, you too. We need women to pray too. Sometimes they pray better than the guys do. Let's have a prayer meeting. Let's have a prayer meeting. Hey, listen, we got to raise $5,000 for our four bus kids. Got it? We're going to pray. And they're all looking at Brother Douglas like, $5,000? I'm a college student. And so typically, okay, here's what happens. I'll go through the motion. Father, we need $5,000. Lord, you are God, you know. We are your children. You know that, right? And God, we'll wait for your answer. Amen. And you know what? God says, shut up. Thank you. I see faith. I don't see words. I hear faith. I don't hear words. Faith. Faith. And we're not asking anything extreme. It's biblical. God wants young people to go to City Baptist to learn about Christ. Mrs. Douglas and I pray for our children every day. We pray for our grandchildren every day. Why?
because I believe God's going to touch their hearts. I really do. I'm going to be a grandfather again Saturday. They're going to induce labor with my daughter-in-law, and he's a boy. So that'd be three boys, one girl. But I'll admit the girl is precious. Oh, my goodness. But watching her play soccer is hilarious. This is what she does. She is clueless as what she's supposed to do. They put her in as goalie, and Mrs. Douglas and I are like, oh, Lord, God help her. But she did good. She knew she had to stop the ball. But I pray, our prayer for our unborn one that comes here, God, would you have a special anointing upon him? I believe that. I really do. I believe it with all my heart. You understand, it's not words that get God's attention. It is faith.
Right.
It is faith. And so we come to the Lord. We say, let's see. God, I don't have any faith, but here's some doubt. Just shut up. It's not going to happen. God is insulted by that. Well, we don't believe him. Why don't we pray? Because we just don't believe. Lastly, why don't we pray? Because we're distracted. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There's no doubt in my mind that there are young people here, precious young people. I said the precious word, didn't I? It was the first time this year. That you're bitter. You're going through the motions. You're here because you know it's the right thing to do, or you're pleasing mom and dad. And you don't know how to deal with that bitterness within. There is a way. I deal with that quite frequently in counseling. But that event, because bitterness and events are always tied together. It happened one day. It may have happened many times. But you need to take care of the bitterness. All you think about is not God, how God can bless you and really, really hear and answer your prayers. You just think about that person. Whether it's a parent, family member, pastor, youth pastor, whoever it may be, you're distracted. Discontentment. You whine and complain too much because this is not good enough for you. It'd be good for all of us if we went to a third world nation and just had about a week-long visit. All three of my kids went on a missions trip. I think one to Mexico, the other one to Dominican or Haiti or somewhere. I forget where it was. But they came back and they were totally different young people. My precious daughter at 16, 17 years of age, she said, Dad, I know what God wants me to do. What's that, sweetie? I'm going to start an orphanage. She said, okay. And she started crying. She began to tell me the stories of the orphanage that they visited. I was very convicted. Now, that was not God's will for her life, but I admire greatly her heart condition. We need to be content. God loves content children. Mrs. Douglas and I, we could talk about our kids all day, but you know what? We thought they were weird for a while. Because we would ask him, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for your birthday? Oh, I'm fine. No, seriously, you got to want something. Oh, no, I'm good. And I'm not making this up. It's like, are you serious? You don't want a 30-30 rifle or something? How about a 30-06, dude? Cynicism. It is the pervading sinful issue here at Hiles Anderson College. I believe that with all my heart. I think in fundamentalism, I think worldwide cynicism. Why? Because we've seen so many failures. We've been lied to. We've been duped. Name it. And so we get cynical. Inspect your heart. Quest for success. Pride. Our sense of irrelevance. Well, I got
to be important. I read this book on psychology, and it just said, I need to be filled up. I work better when people love me. Well, that's probably a true statement, but can I just say, I work better when I know God loves me. And when I understand that, I'm not like a leaf in the wind. I'm not trying to get your approval on my life. I'm trying to get God's approval. If you're going to lead, you better get that down. Because if you're waiting for this, you're going to be like a leaf in the wind. Seek God's approval. Father, we thank you for your goodness.